Amen? All right. Find your place there. Ephesians chapter 2. I know it's a miracle. We've moved from chapter 1 to chapter 2. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 2. And we're going to read the first three verses. And I've entitled the lesson tonight the idea of the believer B.C. The believer B.C. How many of you know what B.C. means? Before Christ. Amen. And so we're looking at the believer B.C. Now it's hard for me to look out there and see some of you and think that you fall into this category that we're going to talk about tonight. But God's Word is God's Word. Amen. And when God's Word says all, as one of my professors used to say, he said, do you know what the word all means in the Greek? And I looked at him very puzzled, and he said, it means all, dummy. And I said, well, amen. Thank you for being so kind. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And being that we're just reading these three verses, let's read them in unison together. Tremendous verses in the Word of God. Ready? Let's begin in verse 1. Here we go. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. May God add His blessing to the reading of His Word. You can be seated. If you have your lesson there, in our last lesson, we closed out the incredible first chapter of Ephesians, and it is incredible. First chapter of Ephesians is glorious. All the doctrines that are discussed there. We kind of scratched the surface, ladies and gentlemen. But when you talk about doctrines like election, predestination, adoption, redemption, the Holy Spirit's indwelling, the power of Christ, and just an amazing chapter of the Word. I hope you got as even just this much out of it as I did, because I was really blessed by it. So we looked at the end of it there, this the chapter of Ephesians, by looking at Him that filleth all in all. So you have blank lines there, closed out the first chapter, and looking at Him that filleth all in all. Three blanks from last week. We looked at the conquering Christ, the conquering Christ, or the conquering of Christ. You remember, He conquered sin, didn't He? Amen? He conquered sin. He conquered Satan. Thank the Lord, He defeated the devil. He conquered death. He rose from the grave. Amen. And it says there that He will conquer His enemies. He's going to make His enemies His footstool. So we had the conquering of Christ. Then we looked at the church of Christ, found in chapter 1. And we looked at several things about the church and the metaphors that God uses. God says that we are His building and He is our foundation. Amen. We learn that we are His bride and He is our groom. So not only the building, but the bride. And we also learn that we are His body and He is the head. And I mentioned that a body is no good without a head. But then we looked at the completeness of Christ. And we are His body. We are the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. And just like a body without a head is no good, according to the text, a head without a body is incomplete. And that, I don't know about you, but that just baffles me to no end spiritually, that the One who is totally complete without us says He's incomplete without us. Woo! You know what that tells me? You're of high value. You, that born-again one that make up the church. Oh, by the way, every soul is of high value. Amen? So we looked at those three things, the conquering of Christ and the church of Christ and then the completeness of Christ. Here, the Holy Spirit deals with the believer's past. Okay? Before you trusted Christ, before you came to know Him as your personal Savior. I mentioned at the end of this month, on the 26th, it will be my 22nd anniversary of being saved. I know for some of you that's not a long time, but boy, I'll tell you what, when you're 45 years old, I'm blessed now that almost half of my life I've been saved. It just blesses me. I think of those 23 years, and I remember being in Bible college, and forgive me, being jealous of all these kids that were raised in Christian home and had a good start, and they grew up in the nursery, and they didn't seem like they did much wrong until they got to Bible college, and I saw it, amen. But I remember thinking, Brother Lowell, I got to catch up. I got a late start here. I got to get going. I thank God that there was a day when the gospel was presented to me, and I received it. Thank God for that. And by the way, I thank God that that happens here every week in Sunday school classes, on the bus, in this pulpit. Amen? That the gospel's presented, people receive it. But, now here's the hard part for me. I'm looking out and I see Miss Amy Deer. God bless you, Amy. One of the sweetest young ladies you'll ever meet in your life. Amen. And Amy, I hate to tell you this, but before Christ, you even fall into all these categories. That sweet young lady right there, okay? Now, I know I fell into all these categories. It's hard for me to imagine young Amy falling into all these categories, but let's look at them. What were we before Christ? You know what we were, first of all? Number one, we were dead. 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 What does it say there? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. By the way, did you notice I got the Roman numerals wrong again? Did anybody notice that? We're starting with number 2. Amen. And then moving on to number 2. And then moving on to number 2 again. Oh, I butchered that one tonight. Hallelujah. Number 2. Dead. Amen. It says, "And you hath He quickened." That word, it's a beautiful Bible word. It means to make alive. Some of you remember, some of you seasoned saints remember when you would cut your fingernail and you would cut down to what they called the quick. I hate to tell you this. You know what your fingernail is? Nothing but dead skin. It's what it is. Until you cut down to the quick, and you know when you accidentally cut down to the quick. You know what the quick is? The living part. You know the Bible says about Jesus Christ when He comes, He's going to judge the quick and the dead. The quick are the living in Christ. The dead are those that died in trespasses and sin. Hey, listen, the believer BC was dead. Dead. We were absolutely 100% dead in trespasses and sin. Have a couple notes here. Number, or it's not a number there, but death is never annihilation, but always separation. You've heard people, I've heard them, they say, you know, when you die, you get burned up or you just go into the ground and that's it. Well, that may be it as far as you're concerned, but the Word of God has an entirely different perspective on death. Death is always separation. Three things about death. Three types of death. Number one, spiritual death. That is what happened in the garden. God said to Adam and Eve, He said, "This is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Thou shalt not eat it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Now let me ask you a question. Adam and Eve ate of that. Did they physically die that day? No, they did not. But they spiritually died, and that is this. What you said death is separation, Pastor. What is that? Spiritual death that happened from Adam and Eve separated them from God. It separated them from God. And so, ever since then, man has been born spiritually dead. Every man that has ever been born has been born in trespasses and sins. We could say it this way, we have a physical heartbeat, but no spiritual heartbeat until God comes along. Until we're presented with the gospel, okay? So, number one, spiritual death. Number two, and one obviously we know about, and that is physical death. Physical death. Genesis 5:5, I put that verse in there because that's when Adam physically died, 930 years old. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and so death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto men once to... You say, what is physical death? Physical death separates soul and spirit from body. I did Mae Jeans Wick's funeral on Saturday. Her body was in that casket, but her soul and spirit was separated from her body by physical death. That's going to happen to every one of us unless the rapture takes place. Okay? Physical death, spiritual death, and then of course we know the last one is eternal death. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Okay? And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You say, what is that? What does eternal death separate us from? The goodness and mercy of God. See, God is still all present, but His goodness and mercy is not found in the lake of fire. Can you imagine? Ladies and gentlemen, we have no idea what it is to live outside the mercy of God. We have no idea. Everything we are right now is by God's mercy. Everything. So we were dead. Okay? We were dead. What else were we? Number two. Amen? We were directed. You say, what do you mean, Pastor, directed? Well, look at verse 2. It says, wherein in time past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Let me just say a few things about directed there. We were directed in what we would call our comportment, okay? Our comportment, our demeanor, how we live, okay? We were directed in our comportment. What do you mean, Pastor? What does it say there? It says, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world. Now again, please forgive me for using Miss Amy as an illustration. It's hard for me to imagine Miss Amy that way. It is not hard for me to remember how I walked before I got saved. Not hard at all. I remember. And so, not only in our comportment, but according to that text there, in our course. We walked according to the course of this world. We were interested in the things of the world. That's what mattered to us. Amen? Yes, amen. That's how we walked before we were saved, before we came to Christ. So not only were we directed in our comportment, in our course, but also in our conductor. Who was the person who was conducting our affairs according to the course of this? Well, what's the text say? According to the course of this world, according to the who? Prince of the power of the air. Hey, listen, we were dead in sins and Satan wanted to make sure we stayed that way. So he had us walking down a particular course. So, Roman numeral 2, we were dead. Roman numeral 2, we were directed. Roman numeral 2, 3, we were disobedient. Okay? Disobedient. And this construction in this verse is very interesting here at the end of the verse. It says, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. This, the way this, again, is constructed in the Greek here is that you have your blank line there. We were not just disobedient children. We were the children of the disobedient one. Does anybody remember the time when the Pharisees were grilling Jesus about who he was? One of the most backhanded slaps in the Bible to Jesus is when he's telling them who he is, and they say, They say, we be not born of fornication. You know what they were saying? Hey, we know Mary was pregnant before she married Joseph. We're not like you. And they said, we be children of Abraham. And the Lord Jesus said, hey, look, God's able of these stones to raise up children of Abraham. They said, no, we never. He said, if you were children of Abraham, you'd rejoice. He said, ye are of your father, the devil. Now, again, it's hard for me to conceive as I look at people in this room that at one time ye are of your father, the devil. I know I was. I guarantee you I was, and I can guarantee everybody else was too, because we were all dead in trespasses and sins. We were all directed. We were all disobedient. By the way, interesting verse there. It talks about today. You were, but there are still children of disobedience. I heard things last night that make a hardened sailor blush. Amen, Brother Rob? The children of disobedience. There are children of God, and there are children of disobedience. It says right there, we were disobedient, we were directed, we were dead. Finally, we're on to number four, from three number twos. All were not only dead and directed and disobedient, all were defiled. Defiled. What does verse 3 say? It says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. What I see here is all were, before we got saved, all were, number one, sinning. What does it say? It says that we all had our conversation in times past. That word conversation, it means manner of life. How you lived your life. How'd you live your life? Just like the children of disobedience, because that's what we were. Amen, Pastor. Boy, that's good preaching right there. Amen. That's what we were. Hey, we don't like admitting that, but that is what the Word of God says we were. B.C. B.C. You know what bothers me, and particularly even last night, is people think they could still live like that A.D. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. B.C., I was all of this and more. AD, I don't want to be any of this. So, we were defiled. We were all sinning. According to verse 3, among whom we all had our conversation in times past, in the what? Lusts of our flesh. We were not only all sinning, but we were all sensual. The lust of the flesh is what we did. Do we still have flesh? And all God's people said, okay, you don't have to amen so loud on this one. Do we still give into the flesh occasionally? Amen. But that's all we could do before Christ. That's all. The lust. We were driven by lust. And we always think of lust as, forgive me regarding intimacy and sexuality and all that, but lust is not just reserved to that. It could be many other things that we lust after. Lust after power. Lust after wealth. Lust after things. Amen? So we see there we're defiled. All were sinning. All were sensual. And then it says there at the end of verse 3, it says, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. We were not only all sinning, all sensual, but we were all self-indulgent. We knew what it was, and we did it. And forgive me, ladies and gentlemen, we liked it. We kept doing it. That is who you and I were before we got saved. You said, well, I grew up in a good home, and amen to that. And I want my kids, when, Lord willing, if I preach this sermon in 25 years as an older man, I want my kids to say, well, Dad, That didn't really sound like our home. I'm telling you, that's who we are without Christ. That's who we are. We don't like that. We don't like to look in that mirror. But I promise you, it's been, I think about this, listen, as I look in the mirror more, I think, man, look at that. Look at that guy. Boy, that guy looks a little older. I got wrinkles over here that I didn't used to have. And I got this and I got that. And you know what? I got this little extra turkey neck here that I didn't used to have. And you know, when you take a good look in the mirror, you could say, look, okay, maybe I need to make some adjustments and change what's in the mirror. But you know what most people want to do? They get a different mirror. Did you ever go to a fun house?
Yeah.
Hey, remember that? Hey, maybe you're a person that is a little heavier. You go to a fun house and you get a mirror that makes you look skinny. Or maybe you're just like one of those bean poles like Pastor Mark, and you go to a mirror that makes you look a little heavier. Hey, listen, let's not change mirror. Let's not change the mirror of the Word of God. Let's change the man or the woman in the mirror. And that, listen, this is a mirror of what we were before Christ. We were dead. We were directed. We were disobedient. We were defiled. And then lastly, we were doomed. We were doomed. What does it say there in verse 3? And were by nature the children of what? Wrath. Even as others. We were the children of wrath. It's amazing when you think about it. You have a blank line there. We who are now the children of God were bound for hell. We were bound for a devil's hell. I heard last night, we're all children of God. And I thought right away, thank God for the Bible. The Bible says, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:26. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. John 1:12. We were, before Christ, we were dead, we were directed, we were disobedient, we were defiled, and we were doomed. And I'm going to tell you this, I cannot wait for next week's lesson. But God. But God. Whew! I'm telling you. So I've heard preacher preach on the divine conjunction. But God. I have a whole book in my office, Brother Bill, by a fellow named Edmund, on all the times in the Bible it says, but God. He did a devotional on every one of them. Tremendous book. But God. Hey, we wouldn't be believers, but God. We'd just still be those children of wrath, those children of disobedience, all that we were before we trusted Christ. Thank God for the gospel. Let's take it to somebody else that needs it. Somebody else that's on their way to hell, just like we were. Father, we love You. Thank You.